All right, you don't need to stand yet, but take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll stand in a minute. We're going to read a few verses. We're tying up our stewardship month. We talked this morning in Sunday school and in the early service and in the morning service about tithing. We talked specifically about that and how God wants us to be involved with that. We're just going to kind of tie it all together tonight. Stewardship. Realizing that my life belongs to God. And everything I do and everything I should be should hinge from there. But really, when we look at life, really, how do you look at life? In other words, when you see life, what do you see? You can hang on to it. I'll get those afterwards. Thanks. You know, people usually see what they want to see in situations. If you see a person that doesn't want to go to church, they'll find reasons why the church is bad. They'll find them. That's the filter they want to look through. The question I see tonight is, how do you look at your life? How do you determine you see life? When people talk about how we look at life, there's a word that they'll use. They'll use paradigm. Now, paradigm doesn't mean you have two dimes, okay? Paradigm is like a filter through which we see life. You know, photographers, professional photographers, they have their cameras and they have their lenses, and they'll put certain filters on the lenses. What those filters do is change or distort, in a good way, the view through the camera to give you a different perspective and make the picture look different. All of us have that filter when it comes to our life. How do we see life? How do we look at life? We all have a filter by which we look. The way we see things will determine how we react. If we have a certain way we're going to look at life, we're going to see what we want to see, or we're going to see things that aren't right because we're not looking correctly. I've given this illustration, I think, in service before. I know in my Sunday school class, but many years ago, we moved into a house over on the east side. This is before the house we live in now, and we had a neighbor, and Brother Pineda was living with us, and he said, "The neighbor doesn't like us." I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "I was out there mowing the lawn, and I heard the neighbor just grumbling at me. I couldn't even understand what he was saying." I'm thinking, wow, the neighbor doesn't like us. So I had a paradigm. I had a filter. He was kind of a hippie guy, and he would have known how to use those gifts we gave out the wrong way. But I could smell it in my bedroom sometimes. But So I had this filter. He does not like us. I remember one time our family was pulling out in the van and we're taking off, and he was talking to somebody, and as we drove by, he kind of put his fist towards our car and kind of shook it. I'm like, that guy doesn't like us. And I have no idea why he doesn't like us. And then a few weeks after that, I was leaving somewhere the house, and I saw the guy a few houses down. He was walking with a white cane. He was blind. I come to find out that he didn't even know who we were. He just so happens, when I drove by one time, he was talking to his buddy, and he made a gesture, and I thought he was pointing at me. The reason he was mumbling at Brother Pineda is because he was trying to talk to him, and he didn't know where he was at. Okay? And actually, it turned out, other than the parties they would have in front of their house, he turned out to be a really nice guy. But I had this in my mind, the guy doesn't like us. And that's the filter I put up. What is important about this is that as stewards, we are called to make decisions in our life all the time. And these are decisions that will really determine our life, the direction of our life, where we're going, what's happening. And we have a tendency to make those decisions based on how we see life, how we look at life. And if we're looking at it wrong, we'll make bad decisions. We have to have the right mindset. Decisions have consequences, okay? Consequences. They just do. I mentioned before, you know, in World War II, England decoded Germany had this special code that they would send out. It was encrypted, and England was able to decode it. And they found out there was a small town. It was a munitions town, and they were gonna strike at that. It was a small one. About 100 people were there. They had to make a decision. If we evacuate those 100 people, we would make sure that nobody got hurt. But if we evacuate those 100 people, the Germans are gonna know that we have deciphered their code, and so we'll no longer be able to use it. And Churchill made a decision. I'm going to sacrifice that city and some lives, because later on there's something bigger coming that we'll be able to save more lives. That's a tough decision to make. If we realize that sometimes our decisions, spiritually speaking, have a heavy, heavy weight on who they affect, just like that. But it all depends on how we look at life. Let's all stand and we'll read six verses here. Matthew chapter 19 to verse 24. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 24. Well-known verses to us. We'll look at 6. We'll look at verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this month we've had to look at stewardship. To be honest with you, we look at stewardship every week because everything in the Bible has to do with our accountability to you and realizing that our life is yours. But Father, we look very specifically at it for one month a year. We've looked at giving this morning. Tonight, we just kind of tie it all together and we just look at our perspective in life and this perspective that you want us to have and the choices that come in these areas and the choices we make based on our perspective. Bless us now as we settle in. Help us to get what you have for us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus often spoke of two kingdoms. There is a heavenly kingdom and there is an earthly kingdom. The kind of Christian that we will be will depend on which kingdom do we live for. Are we living for this earthly kingdom or are we living for the eternal kingdom? Where is our focus? We call that perspective. And really, we can call that, as we were talking about, the paradigm, the filter. We have called that in our church, living with eternity in view or having an eternal mindset. Everything we think about when it comes to the Lord, everything we think about in life, how does it relate to eternity? That should be the filter we look at. In essence, I feel sorry for an unsaved individual because an unsaved person, their view in life will always default to the earthly. They are not saved. Therefore, they have no relationship for God. Therefore, they naturally are not going to think about their life in terms of eternity. They think about it in other things. We were up at the Filipino camp. We went up there for a few days. And Saturday, we were at the hotel and we were leaving. And so I went down a little early, got some coffee because I love God. And there was a couple benches outside, so I sat down on a bench outside the front entrance of the hotel, and there was a guy there named Woody. And so Woody seemed like a nice guy, you know, your old basically 60s or 70s type, you know, old surfer guy, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't realize that Woodstock is over. And so we're sitting there, and Woody's talking to me, and then he asked the question, "What do you do for a living?" Like, "I'm a pastor." And we found out what Woody's perspective on life was. It was not spiritual. His life basically defaulted. I talked to him a little bit. He's not sure about things. And, you know, his Episcopal sister-in-law, who's a priest, that kind of confused him a little bit. Everything in his life was revolving around the temporal because that's what an unsaved person, that's all they have to think about. Thank God we're saved. You say, what if a person is unsaved and all they think about is the temporal things and in the eyes of the world, they succeed at life on this earth? Well, first of all, it depends on what you call success. I don't call success having a bunch of money. I don't call success climbing the ladder, the corporate ladder and getting to the top. But even if they had everything the world looks at, they're still losing. They still don't have everything that God has for them. And by the way, we have to get that mindset out of our mind. You see, just because someone has everything the world says is important and makes you happy doesn't mean that's really what brings joy. Sometimes as Christians, we buy into that. We have a better option as Christians. I remember years ago, I was working at a warehouse, and I worked with some other Christian guys, and we were talking. He goes, you know, I met this guy one time, and I talked to him a little bit about the Lord, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And this guy said, I'm going to be a heathen. I'm not going to do that Christianity, all that stuff. I don't have anything to do with it. And here's this guy's advice he gave this man. He said, well, if you're going to be a heathen, live it up, man. Do everything you can, and just be the best heathen you can, because that's all you're going to get on this earth. And I'm like, that's retarded. Because even if he is a heathen and lives the life and does all those stuff, that's not the best life on this earth. Fact of the matter is, if we believe the Bible, which we say we do, but in reality many times we don't act like it, that isn't the life. That brings more sorrow than it does joy. Oh, but they had everything they could have on this earth. First of all, they still don't have the good life, and when they die, they're really going to pay for it. And that's unfortunate. In the verses we just read, Jesus speaks of three areas where we have a choice. The choice we make will be determined by how we look at life. If we have an eternal mindset, the choices are easy. We choose the things that God would want us to choose. If we don't have the eternal mindset, if we have the mindset that creeps in, like we talked about last week, we'll be tempted to choose some things that are of this earth. Each of us have a choice to make. All these areas we're going to talk about demand a choice. If we, it's always like anything. Say, you always have a choice. Are we going to serve God or not? Well, I'll just put it off. If you put it off, you're saying no. You either say yes, anything other than a yes is a no. I'll wait. That's a no. I'm not going to make a decision right now. That's a no. You can't put it off. You don't have that option. And so we need to make the right choices. Right choices must be made deliberately. As we talked about earlier, choices have consequences. I read a story that in May of 2000, a lady got an email, and the email said, the subject line was, I love you. Now, she didn't know who the email was from. It kind of piqued her interest, so she decided to click on the email. And that started what was known as the love bug virus. She was the first one. And because she opened it up, it spread like wildfire, cost hundreds of millions of dollars damage, and all these computers it infected. By the way, the way not to be infected is to own an Apple computer, okay? Don't own Windows, it's garbage. That was free. What are the choices we need to make? Number one, we choose the investments we make. We choose the investments we make. And I'm not talking about, necessarily where you're putting your stock options. That's verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's our first choice. We can lay our treasures up on this earth. In other words, the earth is the most important thing, so therefore, I must collect as much stuff as I can and hang on to it, and because when you're doing that, I'm investing in myself on this earth, and that's the most important thing. Or, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And then he teaches us a principle. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the first choice is when it comes to our, and again, we're kind of tying up everything tonight, but our resources, everything we have, what are we living for? If everything we have is tied up in this earth, collecting the stuff of this earth, collecting the finances of this earth, laying that up on earth for the here and now, that's one choice, or we can have an eternal mindset and have it in heaven. He says, what happens if we lay it up here on earth? Moth and rust doth corrupt. It depreciates. The value is not always going to be there. We give it value, but it's going to be corrupted. Whatever that new thing you bought, look, you can go out and get the newest whatever, and that's fine, but you know, 2 years from now, there'll be something that's way better than that. I remember we got an income tax return one time, and this is years ago, like 2000, and we were kind of on a real strict budget, so it came in, and we had a little extra money, so I told my wife, man, I want to get a digital camera, or I wanted to get a Palm Pilot. How many remember the Palm Pilot? Man, I love that thing. That thing was so simple. It was like, cool. You know, you have dates on there, and you know, if you're plugged into your computer, you can do email. Didn't have Wi-Fi. And I'm like, that thing, I still like that thing. And I just thought it was so neat. That thing is so archaic compared to the phones today. Man, it was black and white. It had one game on it, Galaxa. You know, the things went so slow, couldn't kill those things. Man, that thing is, you show that to a kid today, and they're like, that's ridiculous. That thing is, that was cutting edge technology. I mean, that was for the man on the go, the busy man. Now we look at it and say, you gotta be kidding me. Palm Pilot? That company's out of business. They used to be the big deal. Things change. The stuff of this earth, there's always something newer. There's always something better. So everything's getting older. It's unsecured. It can be stolen. You can lose it. See, we like security, so we put security into things of this earth, and we latch on to as much as we can. But you know what? Things can change. Problems come. Economies turn. Okay? Where are you going to make your investments? Now, I'm not saying don't take care of your family, don't take care of your needs. But I'm saying, what are we investing in? It makes no sense if there's no heaven to invest in missions. It's a waste of money. By the way, Brother Buna, it's a waste for you to spend your time in Cambodia if there's no eternity. That's right. Why are you there? It's better in America. Now, not much better in America. Things are going downhill. But you leave the country here you're used to, go to another country where not as clean and all these things. He's not there because he's on vacation, people. He's not there because earthly, that's the better place to be. He's there because he's living for eternity, and that's where his investments are. What are we investing in? In these verses, it's very interesting that Jesus isn't telling us to not store up treasures. Did you get that? He didn't say, hey, quit storing up treasures. What he's telling us is, don't store them in the wrong place. Store them where God wants you to store them. Store them in heaven. If all we spend our resources on are earthly things, then money is only of temporal value. It's only good for the things of this earth. But if we invest it in earthly things, then that money, which is finite, now takes on an eternal nature. Now it's not under the things. It's not going to be under the moth and the rust and the thieves and all that. That's not going to happen. So what are we investing in? Our problem is our mindset. Jesus is not against storing up material wealth. He just says it's a bad investment. Did you get that? See, it's a bad investment. Use it for the kingdom of God. Make it of eternal value. Our problem, again, is our mindset. We don't know what true wealth is, and therefore we make bad decisions. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Here's a story. A man's walking through a field. He somehow digs and finds something of great value, tremendous value. But he realizes, being honest, that he does not own the field. So what he does is he buries the value that he found. He buries it back in the ground. He goes and sells everything he can and raises all the money he can to buy the field, so that now he owns the field and anything that is found on that field, which would be that which is valuable. That's what it is when we're investing in heaven. We're realizing we found something of eternal value. Let's do everything we can to make a difference. Jesus isn't warning us, be careful about investing in this earth because you might lose what you invest. To be honest with you, anything you invest that's only earthly, you are going to lose it. Period. When you die, you do not take it with you. You all know of King Tut and his riches. And a man named Carter in 1922 found King Tut's tomb. And he went in there, and all these riches that King Tut was taking with him when he died, guess what they found? They found his mummified corpse. It was still dead. And everything that he was taking with him was still there. Fact of the matter is, you know where it is? It's around the world in museums. He didn't take it with him. Didn't take it with him. Same is true of anything that you have. You ain't taking it with you. Look at Ecclesiastes. Let me read Ecclesiastes. I don't want you to flip there. You can write it down. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 15. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Now, we at least give someone a suit or a nice dress or something when they die. That's all they got. And even that, they're not taking with them. Nothing goes with them. We're so affixated on the things of this earth. An indication of where your investments are going is this. Where is your heart? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is the context there? Where are you laying up your resources? If it's on this earth, then your heart's going to be in this earth. If it's in the things of God, then your heart is going to be with the things of God. What we invest in simply doesn't indicate where our heart is. It determines where our heart goes. That's what it's talking about. Understand that. Where is my heart going to be? I'm going to tell you where your heart's going to be. What are you investing your resources in? That's where your heart is going to go to. A person that says, you know what, I'm motivated by missions. I may not go to the mission field, but I want to have a better heart for missions. I'm going to tell you how you get a better heart for missions. Pray for them and all that stuff, but give. Give. Why? I have a vested interest in them now. When we hear these missionary letters on Thursday night, it's not just something cute we do before the beginning of the service. We want you to hear what's happening because people in this country are supporting those that go to other countries. Our hearts are in it. Say, I don't have a part of what Brother Boone is doing and Miss T. Yeah, you do, if you give to missions. We're a part of what's going on over there. When he shows us what's going over there on Thursday night, guess what? We have a part in that. If we're giving, our hearts are there. My love for the church is kind of, whenever someone tells me, you know, my heart is just kind of being pulled away from the church, I guarantee you this, you're not giving anymore. Someone that up and leaves the church, I don't check it, I probably should. Someone that leaves the church, I guarantee you, months before that, they quit giving to this church. Sometimes, first it's their money, then it's their time, and usually ministry, helping out around here. You know what? Your heart's gone now. What? You're not putting in here anymore. Where is our heart? Our heart follows what we invest in. Number two, we have a perspective choice. A perspective. Verses, I believe, 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If, therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, again, this is in the context there, the two kingdoms and giving. What are we giving to? Physical sight here is an illustration of our perspective on life. What are we looking at? What's important to us? Okay? By the way, the things that you allow your focus to be on, that's how you're going to live. It's just what it is. That's why all these different things in life have a culture. Skaters have a culture. Now, it doesn't mean if you skate, you're wicked. That's fine. Just don't kill yourself. But, you know, most of these skaters, you get the skaters, they got the sideway hat thing going and got all this certain little thing, because that culture kind of all blends in. And when you start to look at life and that's your perspective, that's what you're focused in on life. Whatever that focus, that's how you live. You see these kids, they like this gothic stuff, the white skin, you know, the darkness and all that stuff. Listen, what is their life being focused on? The macabre, the dark. And so that's what their focus is, and now their life's going to follow that path. You girls that think, oh, you know, it's all about beauty. Okay? You're the ones, you start to skirt it on the way you dress. Everything gets a little tighter. Everything gets a little lower. Everything gets a little higher. Okay? You might want to walk by a mirror. But everything's about beauty and me and, you know, my looks and all that nonsense. Some of you just don't have it. You might want to just back off. Okay? And some of you that do have it, you might want to understand that that's for your husband. You might want to back off showing it to everybody in the world. Okay? I just don't understand it. And we'll just go ahead. This is good. You know, we went to the fair. We go early before all the nonsense. And it wasn't even that hot. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding the way these ladies are dressed. If I'm a husband, there is no way in the world my wife is going to walk around like that. Okay? She's my wife. You ain't looking at her. Okay? And so, lady, help us out here. It's not all about, you know, oh, it's killer. I can't wait till, you know, I wish we live where it was like, it gets like 20 below zero. Then it's like, try dressing like that when it's freezing outside. Your legs will turn blue. Yeah. But our perspective, what we look at and what we focus on, that's the way our lifestyle is going to start to go. We can have an eternal perspective when it comes to that. Let's have our light around the things that are light and bright. Scripture, soul winning, church, the things of God. It's not wrong to do other things. But come on, what? If your whole life is about everything but God, you wonder why you have time enjoying God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, serving God is it. So I have a hard time with that. Try it. We had tithing commitments. We ought to have living commitments. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, I've been on both sides of the fence, okay? And I had enough of that side of the fence. And man, when I got in on God's side of the fence, it's like, it's good. Life is good. And the Lord is good. Why don't we just buy into it? But if we have that temporal mindset, that darkness, we're into the things that aren't of God, and we're going down the wrong path. Turn to Romans chapter 8 real quick. We'll read a couple verses here. Romans chapter 8. Again, how you look at life. If you're looking at the temporal, that's the decisions we're going to make. Romans chapter 8, start at verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay? What are we at? Hey, we're mind. Everything that's important to us are the things of this world. That's what you're going to mind. If it's the things of the Spirit, that's what you're going to mind. A person that minds the things of the flesh, they're not going to be excited to see some missionary presentation. We reached another village in Cambodia. Oh. I wonder how many more gays the Rams are going to sign. Come on. How are the Dodgers doing today? They're doing good. No one got killed in the parking lot. Okay? If you like the Dodgers, that's fine. I like the Dodgers too. It's not my life. Okay? Life is, hey, good things are happening. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. And what's that next word? And peace. There is no peace in Isaiah, saith my God, to the wicked. Oh, they have all the money they could ever have. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Peace is something God gives. But I'll find it if I just had $20 million. No, you'll have $20 million and your bills will be paid, but you don't get peace from that. You get peace from God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, like an enemy almost. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can, indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now look, again, I like the Dodgers, but I don't think God really cares how the Dodgers are doing. Okay? And I know he doesn't care about the Raiders. What are the, some people know nothing about spiritual things. Nothing. If you know more about any sports subject than you know about God, you have an issue. I mean, many years ago, we took a big group up to North Valley. And we had, and so we were driving from the hotel, you know, we were all in hotel. I had a carload, and this is like the 90s. And what was a karate game in the 90s, Brother Ross? The one, the karate video game. Street Fighter. There you go. Street Fighter. Was it Chung Lee? I think all I remember is Chung Lee. I didn't even have the game. It sounds like somebody that makes Chinese food. You know, oh, Chung Lee. I'm driving there and I'm listening to teenagers. We're driving to the service and they're talking about the characters in Street Fighter. Now, I thought they were just characters. You know, I'll take the girl and we'll just beat the big fat Buddha guy looking up. We'll take him down. I just thought it was just different characters. You know, they all fight the same. They just look different. These guys are talking about their lives. You know, Chung Lee was born in what? And after they go on for about 10 minutes, I'm like, you know what, guys? If you knew that much about the Bible, you'd be Jesus. And they were real quiet. One of the guys said, ouch. Ouch. Knows more about Chung Lee than they knew about Jesus. It all comes down to this. What are we living for? We've lived in the illustration many times. Think of your life as a dot and a line going on forever. Your life on this earth is that little tiny dot. The rest of eternity is that line that goes on forever and ever and ever. So the question would be this. What should we live our life for? That little tiny dot? Or for that line that's going to go on forever and ever and ever. That's what we're talking about. The missionary who was martyred, Jim Elliot, said, he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. It's that. By the way, that quote isn't just about sacrifice. We like that quote in, man, yeah, sacrifice. That's right. But it's also about reward. With sacrifice comes reward. We get uncomfortable with that sometimes. So remember what we've always called the treasure principle. You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's the eternal investment. Okay? Then the last thing is this. We choose the service we give. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, who are we serving for? We spent a lot of time last week on the God of money. As we mentioned, it's probably the biggest god, false god, in the church today. It's not overt, but it's in the background. No one sees what you're giving. Only God does. But what we give is based on what's important to us. If God's important to us, we obey him and we give the tithe. If we really are investing in eternity, then we get involved over and above the tithe in other things that would be blessed by God. Because we're living for eternity. By the way, even some of these millionaires and billionaires, as they're getting older, are starting to get it. Bill Gates has given away lots of money. Now, by the way, he's given it to, and by the way, he gives some of it to some humanitarian aids, which is nice, but he gives others to organizations we would not endorse. Warren Buffett's done the same. Many of these billionaires have done it. Now, what they don't tell you is like, oh, Bill Gates gave $5 billion away. I know, he still has $60 billion to live on. He'll be fine. He's not going to be in the poorhouse anytime soon. You know what they're saying? There's something more to this life. The sad thing is they're missing it. Because they're missing the eternal aspect of it. It's sad when a Christian misses the eternal aspect of it. But what are we serving? When it comes to relationships, particularly our relationship with God, some relationships are mutually exclusive. For instance, friendship. You can have a lot of friends. Fellowship. You have a lot of friends in the church you can fellowship with. Okay? I noticed when I was up at the Filipino camp, there was a lot of people up there. They didn't look like Filipinos. They wanted in on that fellowship. By the way, if you saw the food spread they had, I wasn't there, but I saw it. It's like, that's why they're in on it, okay? And that's fine. You can have a lot of friends. But there are some relations that are mutually exclusive. Marriage is mutually exclusive. That's a close relationship. It's me and my wife, and that's that. That's why she's not going to dress a certain way so you can get a look at her, all right? That's mine. Just thought I'd throw that back out there for you to see how that flies. By the way, maybe the ladies wouldn't dress sometimes if the men would just stand up and say something. But anyhow, that's a message for another day. And, you know, you lay that. But I look cute in that dress. I know you look cute. Every guy knows you look cute. Don't do that to us. But it's mutually exclusive. That's my wife, and fortunately for her, I'm her husband. Thanks for not laughing. Okay, isn't that why we walk down the aisle? Can he go back to Maywood? That's why I do. Me and you, that's that. Okay? By the way, marriage is being redefined. Two men, two ladies. And by the way, it's going to come real soon. It'll be two ladies and a man. That'll be the next battle. It'll be a man and two ladies. It'll be three men. Already in Vermont, it's three ladies. Okay? And by the way, I just heard in Australia, usually takes us a little while to catch up in America, but we're so corrupt, we'll get there. Incest is okay now. If that's what they choose. It ain't stopping with man and man and woman. It'll get worse. But I'm sorry, I'm getting off the thing here. Talking about God. Exclusive. By the way, here's the real exclusive relationship. You and God. He doesn't want you to have anything that look, if your wife came home and said, hey, how you doing, honey? Listen, I wanted to let you know I have a boyfriend. And would you mind if just, you know, one day a week I go out with him? Now, you get the other six. It's like, are you kidding me? Something bad is going to happen. Or the husband comes home and says, honey, you get 5 days a week, and then this girl gets Saturday and the other one gets Sunday. We do that to God all the time. I love you, God, but I'm going to let this other God creep into my life. And I'm going to put my time over here. That's why it says God is a jealous God. He's jealous of those things that are going to creep in his relationship. He wants to have that relationship with you. And when these gods come in, we spend our time serving him, serving those things, and that's time we could have been spent serving God. God loves us. Some people say, oh, that's so restrictive. No, see it as God loving you so much, he wants to be close to you. He doesn't want anything to come between you and him. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, heart, soul. Two key words, love and all. So let's be careful what we're doing. And again, as we've mentioned before, he mentions money. We said last week, and we'll say it here again, money's a great servant, but it's a terrible master. Consider these quotes. We've given some of them before. John Rockefeller, one of the richest men of his time, said, I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. Now, I know when we hear stuff like that, we say, but I'm different. No, you're not. W.H. Vanderbilt, the richest man at the time of his death, said, the care of 200 million is enough to kill anyone. There's no pleasure in it. And back in the time when he lived, 200 million was a lot. Some of these guys, the money they had, would make Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and some of these others look like paupers. John Jacob Astor, I believe he died on the Titanic. He was the first multimillionaire in United States history, said, I am the most miserable man on earth. Henry Ford, I was happier when doing a mechanic's job. Think about that. And then Andrew Carnegie, who is often regarded as the second richest man in history. I think J.P. Morgan was the first. He said, millionaires seldom smile. Why? When you serve a false god, you don't have joy. There's no joy there. Money's a false god. Who are you serving? You have these choices. These are choices we have to make. And these choices are going to be made based on our perspective. Is our perspective solely earthly kingdom? Or is our perspective going to be the heavenly kingdom? What kind of steward are you? This is our last stewardship message. We said week one, the question is not, am I a steward? The question is, what kind of steward am I going to be? But it's based on our mindset. If we really knew what was on the other side, we wouldn't worry so much about what's over here. And by the way, you think about heaven, meditate on it. It's hard to grasp. It's not just a bunch of angels sitting on clouds. Say, do I understand completely what heaven is like? You know, I don't. I know this. It's going to be good. It's going to be unbelievable. The best things of this earth won't compare with the least of heaven. And I know when we all get there, you know, we're going to say like, wow, I wish I would have understood what's going on. We don't understand what's going on. We make irrational decisions. Have you ever heard of these guys? I'm almost done here. Have you ever heard of these? There was many Japanese soldiers that didn't know the war was over. Any of you hear about some of them? They kept finding these guys years and years and years after the war was over. The last one they found, I think, was in 1973. Almost 30 years after the war was over. This guy was on this obscure island living, and he didn't know the war was over. No one had told him it was over, so he was obeying the last command given. And some of the people that lived on, he was on the other side of the island that lived there, so every now and then they get a sniper shot at him or something thrown at him. Or it's like, what is going on here? Finally, they had to get someone in there and capture this guy and say, the war's over. Okay? Everything's been great for 30 years and you missed it. Okay? When we get to heaven, it's like, oh man, I wish I'd have really known what was going on. I wish I would have really known what my investment could have brought. We got to start living for that mindset now. Let's not always be focused on the things of this earth. How do we do that? Let's just change our mind. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, pressed into the world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts up here. The more time we spend with God, the more time we spend learning about God, the more our mindset is going to change. And we're going to look at life through a biblical, eternal filter. And our decisions will fall into line. Let's pray this evening.